right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you. I probably shouldn't say things like this on the platform, but that always feels awkward for me. It really does. Like, I just wait, and then you awkwardly applaud some guy that some of you don't even know yet. But hey, let me do this. Let me just tell you that you should not ever worry about or try to applaud me. We should give all glory, all praise to Jesus Christ alone. Amen, everybody. Hey, for those that believe that, let's do it right now. We serve a good God that's worthy of our praise. But I do want to welcome all of you in the building. I want to welcome those of you that are online. I am learning more and more and more about more and more of you that are tuning in week after week after week, faithfully staying connected to our church through church online. I just want to give you a shout out and tell you how much I love you and appreciate that. I'm so thankful that you are connected. Some of you have even told me that it is not until we expand this year that you'll come back to the building, and that's exciting. So I'm glad that we can serve you here this way, and then I want to encourage you to look forward to that. Details are very, very soon to come on timelines and all of that stuff, what you can expect and how you can get involved and help make that happen. But I just love all of you that tune in from a distance. Some of you are in other states, other countries, other cities, and we just love having you. We really, really do. And then for those of you that are faithful just to join us in building, I love you guys too. Thanks for being here. I've preached to myself before, and it's possible, but it's so much better when you come. So thank you for being here. Everybody, good to see you. I hope that your year is off to a great start so far. I really, really do. I want to say this. If you're in the building, tuning in online, if you're just kind of in church for whatever reason, because it's the new year, and you're like, you know what, new year, new start, this is a thing that I'm going to do. Can I just say this to you? Way to go. Way to go. I mean, really, really. Yeah, you can applaud that. Like, you should, listen, there are people, I know you can't tell now, Anthony, but I used to be a gym rat, and so I used to go to the gym every single day. I haven't done that in a while, but I used to go every single day. So I was in the gym 5 days a week, and we could not stand the new year. How many of you guys are active in the gym? You know what I'm talking about. You can't stand the new year because you always get the people that they're gonna, like, their new year's resolution is to get fit, and they sort of like show back up to the gym, and the only thing that it really does is irritate you for a few weeks because now you're waiting in line, the machines are taken, you know, or whatever. And so there becomes this belief, this sort of mindset from the people that are in the gym that nobody believes in the new beginner. Nobody does. They're like, you guys, by February, I'll have my gym back, right? But it's true. It is true because I used to be one of those. But here's what I want to say. Listen to me. I believe in the new beginner. I do. And so what I want to say to you is if you're like, look, I'm in church today because it's new year and I want to make this a priority. I want to make this a habit. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And I just want to champion that. I want you to know that we are not annoyed at your presence. We welcome it. We long for it. We appreciate it. Isn't that right, church? So way to go. If that's you, welcome to church. Welcome to church. Really excited to have you. So today we're going to start a brand new series, and I'm excited to get into it, but I want to start with prayer. Can we do that? Father, we love you. I just thank you for this day. I thank you for these people. I thank you for this moment. God, I thank you for this church family. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that we have been called to. There's so much ahead of Church on the Rock this year. We're so excited about all that you're doing. And Father, we just want to submit ourselves to you right now. Father, not only in this moment and in this service, but in this year, we just want to give it to you. Father, have your way in us. Speak to us. Move us. Lead us, Lord God, into the direction that you would have for our lives, Lord God. Because what we know is, if we do what you're calling us to do, if we follow the guidance of the Spirit of God on the inside of us, it's always better. And so, Father, we just pray that you have your way in us, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. So we're going to start this brand new series today, and I decided to call it First Priority. First Priority. How many of you guys know that sometimes priorities are difficult to keep in place? Come on, can we agree to that? How many of you guys know that sometimes I can have a priority and recognize the value of a priority, but I don't always keep it in the right spot? Let's say like this. Like, for example, I know that being healthy is a priority, that I really should take care of my body. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you know, I should eat good and I should exercise. And you just heard me admit I don't go to the gym, right? And sometimes I find myself just eating things that I know aren't good for me, but they're good at that moment, right? Come on, right? Sometimes the priority could just get out of order. If you're anything like me, there are times where even the priority of my life, like understanding that my wife should be an utmost priority, but sometimes I recognize that, like, man, I just haven't had her in that right place. I haven't focused on this relationship like I ought to or like I should or whatever. Maybe it's my children. Maybe it's something as silly as the garage. I'm preaching now. I just got into some people's business now. Like it's just easy for things to get out of order. Isn't that right? Right now, my garage is making me have, like, mental breakdowns. I don't even like going inside of it right now, which surprises some people because I get accused of being obsessive compulsive all the time. I like things to be perfect. That's what I like. It's my number one love language. It's called perfection. All right, it's all I want. It's weird and it's annoying, but there are times that just life, stuff, priority just gets out of order. And so I want to dig into that in this series. Is that okay with you? I want to talk about priority, and I want to talk specifically, though, about our first priority, our very first priority, because no matter what you value, no matter where you're from, your background, your age, your culture, your interest, no matter what, there is a first priority. There is. I'm going to talk about that in this series, and we're going to start today. Does that sound fair? I want to take you, though, first to the words of Jesus. Jesus, obviously, the centerpiece of all civilization. Jesus is one of the most amazing people in the world to me. He was awesome. You know, he is, of course, the Son of God. He is who died on the cross for our sins. He is the bridge in which we have access to the Father. And Jesus was, because he was so influential, because he made such profound, powerful claims about who he was and what he was called to do, people were always trying to get him. They were always trying to trick him. They wanted to see, like, does his conduct match his speech, or does he contradict himself? Like, what you said then, you said something different now. So people were always trying to, like, trick Jesus all the time. And I want to take you to an example of that in the Bible. It's where we're going to begin. In Matthew chapter 22, he's asked this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And so they're talking about these 10 commandments that Moses would give. You know, all these 10 commandments, and then there was the laws. You know, I mean, they were crazy, over 600 of those things. And they want to know, like, hey, what's the most important law? Because they're probably thinking of something he said before or an action of his life prior, and they're wanting to see, can they trip him up? What's the most important commandment in the law? And then Jesus replied, watch what he says. "You're going to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Watch what he says. "This is the first and greatest commandment." Like, this matters most. Which I admire his response, because I'm going to be honest with you. If I don't think I'm actually very good put on the spot like Jesus was. Like, if you put me on the spot, like, "All right, Pastor, what's the most important commandment? What's the ones that matter more than the other ones?" I would have been like, I don't know. Maybe you should honor your parents while you don't kill people. Let's just try that. That sounds like a good one, right? I would just probably randomly have picked 2 out of 10. Let's give it a shot. Jesus, though, has this incredible way of getting to our heart every time. And the statement that he makes is that if you will just love the Lord your God with everything you've got, then you will honor your parents. And you won't kill people, okay? Right? I mean, then the commandments that were given, they fall into place when we live this out. He would continue to say that we should love each other the way that we've been loved. So and he's like, then you just fulfill everything. And what I want to point out here is that he says, "I should be first." So I'll go back to what I said just moments ago, that it really doesn't matter what you believe or where you came from or what your values is. The first priority is Jesus. Some of you don't even believe that yet, and that's okay. Stay with me, because I'm just telling you from personal experience that it's always proven true. Right. And just being honest with you about, you know, just life and being human and all that kind of stuff, that they call me pastor. You guys expect me to stand in front of you each weekend and deliver a message. You guys probably expect that I spend time in the Bible and that I pray and that I love people and I do good stuff. You know, like there's like an expectation that people have simply because, well, he's the pastor. Like, of course, but can I be honest with you that even sometimes I recognize that I don't have God first. It just happens. It just happens. And it's not like I set out to do it. It's not like I'm like, what can I put? It's not like I strategize. It's just that it's sometimes through life or whatever just sort of goes that way. I always say this, that you never drift in the right direction.
No.
Never.
No.
I've never accidentally lost weight.
No.
It just never happens. I never like unintentionally wind up improving myself. What happens is when I get better, no matter what better looks like, no matter how you want to classify it, when I get better, it's always because I'm intentional to do so.
Amen.
It's an intentionality. And what I have to remember and what I have to recognize is that I have to keep important things in their places. So if I want a healthy marriage, I have to focus on it. Just because she said, I love you when we got married, doesn't mean it's going to last forever unless, like, the fire burns where the logs lie. You with me? If I want to be healthy, I have to focus on my health. I'm going to have to eat right and exercise. I'm going to have to do those kinds of things. If I want to be a good student, I've got to lean into my studies. And what I've recognized is that sometimes priority, we might understand their priority, but sometimes we don't keep them as such. And so this whole series, this whole month, the whole idea of what we're doing right now as a church is to put the first priority first. Here's how we say it at Church on the Rock. It's a core value. I'm pretty sure that I've preached a message titled this. I'm pretty sure that other people on our team have preached a message titled this. We're going to preach it again. This is how we say it. It's Jesus over everything. Everything. He's just got to be over everything. It means he's got to be over my marriage. He's got to be over my home. He's got to be over my family. Listen to me. I'm going to preach to myself a minute. He's got to be over deer hunting. Come on, somebody. He has to be. Let me say it like this. He's got to be over ministry. There's a lot of Jesusless ministry, and I got to make sure that we keep Jesus over everything. Amen. 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 I expect a little bit better response from that, but that's okay. I'm going to preach anyway. Y'all just hang tight, all right? No, don't do it now. But hey, if Jesus is the first priority, then I've got to maintain that priority. I might understand it, but might not actually maintain it. The idea of this series is that we will be intentional to maintain the first priority. We will keep Jesus over everything. Here's what we say about it. We prioritize his purpose over every single part of our lives. Over every single part of our lives. Every single part. This is how we make Jesus over everything. We actually tie a verse to it. It's Colossians 1:17. And watch this. He's before all things. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all got some things right now in your life, and Jesus just needs to be before those things. Like, I know, and it's not easy to have Jesus before all things, but I'm going to preach in this series. I'm going to remind us, including myself, that Jesus needs to be before all things. He is the first priority, and in him, all things hold together. You feel like you're coming unraveled. You feel like you're coming undone. You feel like it's chaos in your life. I'm going to tell you something. Put Jesus before all things. He holds it all together. Amen, somebody? Amen. So here's what I want to, I really try hard to be practical. It's just my personal, like, ambition as a communicator, as a preacher, a teacher, whatever you want to call me. I like to be practical. So I don't want to just fluff you up with a bunch of things like, hey, Jesus is awesome and love him. Let's pray. Like, that might work. But I want to try to help you. And so I want to offer us some steps that we're going to take. And I'm going to speak very holistically for a little while. But all of this could narrow down just to, like, to you and to me. So what we're doing holistically as a church only matters if it happens in you. Because the church, I just want to remind us, the church isn't this building or address.
Amen.
The church is you. And so one of my favorite things to say is, if God wants to do something in our church, then he has to do it in you. Because you're the church. Amen? And so here, just three things that I believe help us keep Jesus over everything. To keep the first priority first, and here's the first one, you're not going to like it. We fast at Church on the Rock. We fast. which means we go without some stuff. We are intentional about it, in fact. We actually schedule it in our year to go before the Lord in a time where we have things that we enjoy, desire, want, pushed to the side. We fast at Church Unlocked, which I understand is like odd to a lot of people. Some people don't even know what that means. I worked with a guy one time, and I was doing a fast, and he called it a quick. And let me just say something. That's what he called it. You still doing your quick? And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing my quick. Let me tell you something about fasting. It does not go fast, all right? It takes 24 hours get longer every day. It's unbelievable. But there's something about fasting. What it is it self-sacrifice. Let me dig here just a little bit, because the Bible, everywhere in the Bible, I've been digging into this over the course of time and have yet to find a place where the Bible doesn't say humble yourself before the Lord. And that's not fun, but it's something that needs to be done. And so fasting is a thing where we actually separate from luxuries, all right? The most pure way to fast is not eat. I know, that sounds awful. But that is the true definition of fasting, is to separate from food and spend the time that I would be eating praying. So instead of feeding my body, I'm feeding my spirit with intention. So there's something about the hunger pain that actually drives a sacrifice before the Lord. Here, let me tell you something about fasting. You can't forget about God when you're not eating. You cannot. Because every time you have a headache, your stomach is growling. Every time you feel the discomfort because you feel like my goodness, I just want something to eat. You almost feel like your stomach starts to turn a little bit inside. Your mouth gets a little chalky and pasty, and your teeth feel like you got to brush them about 18 times a day. Where are my veterans at? Y'all know what I'm talking about. It can be rough. Your head will start hurting because your body's not taking the sugars that it's used to and the caffeine that it's used to and the proteins that it's used to. And you can have a lot less energy. And you can feel pretty lethargic. And sometimes your mind just, it's not hitting. It's like, I know that there's 8 cylinders in there. I'm functioning on about 3.5 of those. You know, like it can be very, very difficult to fast. But the thing is, you can't forget about God, because every discomfort makes you think about what you're doing this for. It's like a constant sacrifice before the Lord. So even when I'm not in a prayer time, my sacrifice of my flesh is prayerful. I'm preaching really good right now. I am, because it's helpful to our spirits to humble ourselves before the Lord. But there's other ways to fast. You can have limited diets. You could skip a meal. You could decide to put away a delicacy. Oftentimes, people will put away other things, which I don't consider as much a fast, but it's sacrificial. It's to get away from like TV or certain types of music or like whatever it may be. They're going to separate from social media. Whatever it is, it's sacrificial. It's to humble yourself. So you can do a media fast. You can do a combination of all these things. Let me tell you the point of it all. The point of it all is so that I can intentionally put my flesh in a sacrificial place so that my spirit can be more inclined to receive what God has for me. And it's good for us. Amen. And I'm telling you right now that every year in the fall, my mind is running an algorithm on why we shouldn't do this next year. Every time I'm at Thanksgiving and I'm having my aunt's sweet potato casserole, I'm thinking, we should not fast in January. We should make this in January. This stuff, right? Come on, I'm having too much because it's Christmas and we're just all together as a family. And my body is like, this is a bad idea.
There you go.
So this is not good. However, I've never, ever humbled myself before God this way and not receive something in my spirit that I don't think I would have received otherwise. The Bible says that he loves the smell of burning flesh. I know that sounds crazy. It's a verse. It's like a sweet aroma, the Bible says, into his nostrils. There's something about it. There's just something about us putting ourselves and our drive and our need and our want and our desire intentionally on a sacrificial, figuratively speaking, altar before the Lord.
Amen.
And man, I believe it just opens up an avenue where he'll just start depositing things into our spirit like surgery almost. And let me just show you some scripture here. The Bible says, I no longer count my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me. I just like that Paul is talking about it ain't about me and it ain't about my effort and it's not about if I do enough good things and don't do enough bad things and I got a good heart and all that. No. Like, that's not what it's about. I have to trust Christ Jesus to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Come on, somebody. That's good right there. Verse 10. Watch this. Watch what he says. I want to know Christ. Like, I want to know him. I want to know him and experience the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, let me just pedal here just a minute. I don't have a lot of time, but let me spend a moment here that Paul is saying, I really want to know God. I really do. And I really want to experience the power of God. And anybody in this room, anybody tuning in online who really knows God and has ever experienced God's power, and I'm talking about his power now, like something supernatural, it's beyond you, might have been in a moment, might have been in a season, but the power of God was just operating in you like never before. You experience it once, you'll long for it again and again and again and again. And Paul is saying that I want to know Christ. Like, I want to really know him. I don't want to just be a Christian. I don't want to just be a church attender. I don't want to just serve on the team. I really want to know Christ, and I want to experience his true power in my life. Watch what he says. I can learn to suffer with him. Amen. It's the very next verse. Yes. It's the very next sentence. I'll share in his death so that somehow I can experience the resurrection from the dead. Some of you, it's like the walking dead. You're just feeling like, man, I don't know what's going on, but maybe you're saying to yourself, there must be more. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I know there's more. And so my challenge is that, hey, if I want to keep the first priority, my challenge is try fasting with us for 21 days. Today's day one. Give it a try. Put something away. Make it hurt a little. Maybe make it hurt a lot. But push yourself and see what God will do in you. Can I just, a couple things that we have, I just want to point out that we have available is we have these prayer guides that we make available to you. And some people, it's like, I don't really understand prayer. I don't know how to pray. These are remarkably helpful. They were written by one of my heroes in the faith. I just put a little note on the inside kind of from me to you guys. But I didn't write this or author it, but I stole it with his permission and made it available to our church too. And I just want you to know that these are available to you. So if it's like, all right, I want to pray. Teach me how to pray. This, it's in here. There's all kind of amazing little things that'll walk you through prayer formats. There's places you can take some notes. There's plenty of blank spots where you can write what God's doing in you. I just want you to know these are available for you. And then we've got these. Anybody want this one, by the way? I'll just give it away. All right, right here in the front row. I'm going to pitch it, okay? Nice job. All right. I used to throw pretty good. And so we also have these bands that we do back by popular demand, quite honestly. They say pray first on them. It's all black. It's just a little rubber thing. Pray first. And it's just a reminder that I'm going to keep prayer first. Like before the meeting, I'll pray first. Before the sermon, I'll pray first. Before, I don't know what you do. We cook dinner. We pray first. Like whatever. We're going to pray first, right? And so these are also available. And they're just little ways for us to kind of identify that, like, I'm with you. I'm in this with you. Anybody want a pray first band right here on the front row? Oh, man, that wasn't a good throw. All right, who else? All right, I'm going to see if I can get it to you. All right, my boy back there. Here we go. That was awful. That was terrible. Man, they should shape them things a little more oval-like. Put some air inside. I get it right there. But I bring this up because I just want to speak into, like, why? Like, why do you crazy people do this? Because we want to know Christ and experience his power. And so the fact of the matter is we humble ourselves and we just suffer with him a little bit. And I know it sounds crazy, but listen, logic and faith, they don't always see eye to eye. Amen? Amen. So I'm just encouraging you, hey, try it. Try it with us. We're going to be hosting prayer services every single night, Monday through Saturday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. right here. We'll be streaming those. I'm looking for a team member, right? We're going to, thumbs up. We're going to be streaming those and archiving those. So if that doesn't work for you, you can go to COTR, Church on the Rock, COTR.live, L-I-V-E, and you can find it there. All right, so you can stay connected if that doesn't fit your schedule or whatever the case may be. I'm going to be leading tomorrow night. I'm going to do my best to engage us into some prayer. Come on, we're going to set the tone tomorrow, everybody, and we're going to pray in this place. But we're doing this in a season of sacrificial fasting. We're doing what the Bible says. We're going to humble ourselves. Why? Because we want to know Christ and his power. So we're going to suffer with him. We're going to learn to suffer with him. Second way to keep Jesus over everything, first priority first, is just simply pray. Like, it's like, well, you just said that. No, I know. I just want to reinforce the power of prayer, calling on God. Can I say it this way? Have a conversation with him. So he goes, I don't know how to pray like that. Like, how do you start? And how do you finish? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. I mean, it can sound like juvenile and uneducated, and it can sound silly. It doesn't matter because, listen, he loves you. He wants to know you, and he wants you to talk to him. So just pray. The Bible says pray about everything. Just pray before the Lord. Move quick for time. The Bible says to devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And that's just around here. I didn't start this church. I stepped into the leadership of this church after attending here for a long time. Been here a long time. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm a different leader than our founding pastor was. There's a lot of differences now than there were then and whatever. But I'm going to tell you something that has always been consistent at Church on the Rock forever is prayer. I've never known a time at this church where we didn't have prayer times, prayer seasons, prayer moments, prayer services, always prayer. Why? Because Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. And the Bible says, devote yourself to prayer. So at Church on the Rock, it's a value to us. We will call on God, because if we don't have the power of God working in us, everything we are doing is a waste of time. Everything. Amen. Amen. These are good amenable moments. But number three, here we go. All right, if I'm going to keep Jesus over everything, I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray, and listen to me, this is big, I'm going to listen. Jesus doesn't just want to hear from you. Good job. He wants you to hear from him. Can I tell you something that's going to shock some of you? God is still speaking. God is still speaking to his people. He's still depositing truth in our hearts today. He still has a still small voice that he wants to speak into your spirit and help you to understand. God is still communicating to his church. And the first proof I can give you is the Bible. Come on. You want to know what God's voice sounds like? Read the Bible out loud. Yes. You'll hear the voice of God. His word speaks. The Spirit of the living God dwells inside of every single Christ follower. And the Bible tells us that that Spirit that dwells within us will only say what he hears from the Father. So when you feel something leading you ever had that moment? Like, I can't explain it. I just feel like this is right. It doesn't make sense, but I don't feel like we should be here. That might be the Spirit of the living God speaking to you. He has something that he wants to say. And I love this verse. It's a promise out of Jeremiah. He says, this is God speaking. And he says, if you call to me, I will answer you. And I'll tell you some great and unsearchable things, listen to me, that you don't even know. I'm going to unpack things that you don't even know yet. I'm going to speak into your life. I'm going to take you in a new direction. I'm going to do a new thing. You're going to experience new experiences. You're going to go to a deeper level. I'm promising you, I'm telling you from my own personal experience that God has something that he wants to say to you. Something that he wants to say to me. And I just believe that if we, as a family, will just say, all right, we know what the first priority is, but we're going to be active about keeping Jesus over everything as a church. I gave a challenge last Sunday, if you weren't here. I gave a challenge. And my challenge was this: what would your life look like 1 year from today if you simply did what your church does? What would it look like? What would it look like if you went to church 52 times this year? In 1 year, what might that look like? So for those of you that, like, this is your New Year's thing, you can do it. What would it look like if you did engage in a life group? 3 semesters, pick your group. You might meet the friend that's going to change your life forever that you don't know how you made it without beforehand. What would it look like if you took all 3 easy steps of All Access this year? What would that look like? What would it be if you just found out, like, what's my church about and how do I get involved? What would it look like, your life, 1 year from today, if you got on a serve team and said, you know, I'll serve once a month. I'll serve twice a month. Let me help. Let me make a difference. I've been served well. Let me serve somebody else. What would your life look like? Here, and the last question, what would it look like if you said, all right, my church fasts for 21 days and they pray. I'm going to do it. And here's what I'm going to say. Like, well, how should I fast? What should I fast? That's, you need to listen. He's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. And here's what I would say. We don't ever tell people what to fast. That's not my job. But I always say this. Just give God your best sacrifice. What's your best sacrifice? I remember a couple of years back hearing from a guy that he said, I'm going to give up sweets and Pepsi. I was like, well, I thought Pepsi was sweet. I'm just kidding. Sweets and Pepsi. And I remember thinking, because I know him pretty good. And I remember thinking, like, that's a big deal. Yeah. Like, way to go. That's a big deal. Boom, God's moving his life. Like, there's something, it's a big deal to you. It's a big deal to you. There are some of you that, you get it. Amen. You get it. All right. I'm going to close right here because my time is up. Amen. But I'm going to close right here with this. I really just want to challenge us. I'd like to just, for a moment, just speak from my heart about, I don't know how to explain it. I really don't know how to put my finger on it. I've been trying to define it here in the last, really just couple of weeks. But there is such an enthusiastic anticipation in me. I don't even know, like, how to describe it. But I know this. Like, I think God is always ready to go. Let's go. Always. I think it's when we get ready to go that we will really see and feel and experience some powerful things. And I know that, is that thing counting backward? Yeah, good, I can see it. I have a clock back here, everybody. You're all looking at it now. I know this, that what we have ahead of us as a church, the steps we're about to take, the expansion, so if you haven't heard that news yet, we're about to expand into St. Augustine High School's auditorium. All of this facility is going to become a kids' campus, and we're just spreading our footprint to make room because we feel called by God to reach more people. We believe, actually, that we've sort of hit a little bit of a lid here in this facility, and it's limiting our ability to do that. And so we're going to expand. That's the quick vision. So when I say all the things, like, I'm just going to tell you from a logistical standpoint and from a planning standpoint and from a strategic standpoint, it's a lot. It's a lot to consider. It's a lot to think about. Like, how is this going to affect team? And how are parents going to feel about this thing? And how do we make sure it's safe and secure? And how many deputies do you have to have? And all right, well, now what should the service time spreads be? And blah, blah. All right, how does it change over there? Because it's different now logistically than it was here. And right? It's a lot. I'm just telling you. And, like, I've only mentioned a couple of things that we're having to have all those conversations around. And so there's a part of me that's nervous about it because I'm human. And then there's a part of me that's like, I just feel like this is a great moment. And God's going to do great things. And we are, in fact, going to reach more people. We're going to see more life change. And we're going to experience more freedom. And we're going to go to a new level. It's not so we can get bigger. It's so more people can hear the gospel. Come on, somebody. I'm just preach. That's what we're here to do. But if we only do it from a logistical, strategic, planned method. And we don't actually say, God, we're hopelessly foolish without your guidance, your voice, your direction, your power, your leadership. If we do not recognize our desperate need, for the voice of the Lord in our lives right now, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to our church. Let's do this. Let's go, man. Let's call on God. Let's see what God might do. What might he do in your life? What will he do? Father, I pray for us as a church. I just call out to you, Lord Jesus, right now. And I ask, Father, that you would lead us and guide us as we humble ourselves. As we seek your face, as we fast, as we pray, as we listen. God, it's a very intentional step. It's a posture that we purposefully get into because we want Jesus, you, to be over everything in our lives. Everything in our church. Everything in our city. Everything in our state. Everything in our nation. Everything in our world. We just, Jesus, we want to make you famous. We want your name to be lifted. So I just pray for clarity, strength, and endurance for us as we begin a season of prayer together as a family of believers committed to seeking your face and recognizing that you, Jesus, are in fact first. So in our own lives, we want to make sure that we put the first priority in place with some intentionality. So we humble ourselves to fast, to pray, and to listen. Speak to us, guide us, move in us, we pray. Now, if you're here today, just head still bowed real quick, eyes still closed. You've never made a decision to follow Jesus. I really, quite frankly, have given a very church-type message today. But I do believe in the power of the Spirit of God to move in people's hearts, that he actually can communicate to somebody that's not a part of the church, that's not a follower of Jesus, and he can present the hope of the gospel to you as I'm speaking. And I just want to give you an invitation. To just receive Christ Jesus into your heart this morning. Maybe you're tuning in online. You might be listening to a podcast. This could be a year after it's recorded. Doesn't matter. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. And I would love for you to just have an open heart to be receptive to Jesus coming into your life right now. And here's how we do it at our church. I'm just going to ask you to do one thing today, just one, and that's to simply decide. Just make a decision right there where you are. Make a decision. Then I want to lead you in a prayer, and our whole church is going to help support you in this prayer right there where you're seated, right there where you're listening, viewing, wherever you are. We're just going to lead you in this prayer, and I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. This is your moment. This is you inviting Jesus into your heart. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's congratulate those that made that decision. Whether you're here or there, congratulations, congratulations. Hey, I love you guys. Stick around just 2 more minutes. We got one.